Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. Coming to our second Sunday in Ordinary Time, our second full Sunday in Ordinary Time, again, after all of the solemnities in June, we're at the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And again, the point of moving through summer and fall Ordinary Time is always to identify the echoes of resurrection that continue to walk with us, to journey with us as we move towards the end of our church year. Christmas concludes with the baptism of the Lord, the echoes of Christmas continue in those weeks that lead us up to Ash Wednesday. And so the same now is true always of resurrection and Easter, is that it continues the rest of the year. Our lives are marked by the joy of incarnation and resurrection as believers in the world. Again, we are not sandwiched in between times of penitence again and again and again. We are not to be a people of penitence. This is a medieval idea that arises because, unfortunately, a lot of terrible things were experienced in the Middle Ages, and a lot of people forgot. When people forget, then we begin to misinterpret what it is that the gospel is saying to us. We misinterpret the good news that Jesus proclaimed to us. And our job, as always, as believers in this world, is to remember, do this to remember me, do this to remember me. Remember what I did, remember what I said, which was not about condemnation, which was not about, you know, pain and suffering, which was not about us having to make up for offense after offense after offense before a God who is not gracious and who is not very merciful. But it's always to remember how much that we are loved and how much we need to act out of that love. And so this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we have the book of Deuteronomy that opens us up and it basically tells us, you know, that we are to remember in our hearts, you know, what is God's law. I mean, to naturally move through what our hearts prompt us, how our hearts prompt us to live and to become the people that our hearts mold us into becoming. We know the right thing to do and we just need to do it. We don't need to find it, as Deuteronomy says, out there or in some kind of celestial thing that's brought down from on high. We know in our hearts and in ourselves what it is that we must do to live as children of God, to live as people, you know, who God has claimed as God's very own. It's a part of us. It doesn't have to come from the outside. And that's important, again, to connect with the gospel for today from Luke, because our gospel for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time is that of the Samaritan, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And a lot of times we focus, again, upon that Samaritan, and you can. That's one way of taking a look at this. But the Samaritan does in caring for this poor man who is, you know, beaten and left for dead upon the road by thieves and by robbers. But the reason why this parable arises is more important, perhaps, as we move into understanding the power of Easter that continues in our lives. And so the thing is, Jesus is prompted to move into this parable by a question from a scholar of the law who questions Jesus simply to test him. Not to understand more his teachings and his message, not to live more his teachings and his message. He questions Jesus by, again, talking about this thing called eternal life, which, again, most Jewish scholars of the law didn't even believe in because it just seemed too outlandish. The life that you live here is all that there is, and you better try to live it as best you can. And if you're not, it's because God isn't happy with what you're doing, and so you lose out. Jesus is offering something more. And so the scholar of the law says, you know, well, what do I have to do to inherit this eternal life? And kind of almost in a mocking way. And, you know, Jesus basically says, well, what do you read in the law? And he goes back to the scholar, well, how do you interpret even what it is that you read in the law? And the scholar brings out, you know, the fact that, again, you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, whatever it is, and your neighbor as yourself. And basically Jesus says, well, that's it. You've done well. You know what to do. But the scholar pushes the envelope a little bit more because, again, he wants to show that he knows more than Jesus does because he is a scholar of the law. And so wishing to justify himself, as it says, he asks, well, then who is my neighbor? And the parable of the Good Samaritan comes about. Now, again, Samaritans were people who had intermarried. Samaria is the city in the north of Israel, which was the first place that seems Abraham and his travels from Ur of the Chaldeans settled into. And so it becomes kind of the starting point for the influx of the people of Abraham into the promised land, into Israel. But what happens is that over time, that area becomes overrun by different kinds of peoples, and there's intermarriage. And the Jews in Jerusalem begin to think the Jews in Samaria in the north are not true Jews because they have intermarried and tainted the bloodline. So there's animosity, there's hatred between the two. And a Samaritan would never do a good thing for a Jew would never do a good thing for a Samaritan. But here's what happens. The Samaritan does an even greater thing than anybody else does for this poor man who it seems to be is a Jew beaten and left for dead on the road. And not just caring for him in the instant, but leaving something to be able to have him cared for even after the man has to keep continue going on. The Samaritan has to keep continue going on. And when Jesus asks the question, again, who is the one who did right by this man who was eaten by thieves? And the scholar could only say, I guess the one who showed him mercy. He won't even mention the word Samaritan because it is such a hateful word for him to even say. This is the whole point. Again, it's the Samaritan's good work, yes, but also what happens in that parable is that two people pass by, you know, this individual on the road. It is a priest and a Levite, both of which are kind of almost the same sort of thing. They're both temple officials, basically, who had to do sacrifice. And they could be justified by not taking any notice of this man who was beaten on the road because they have to do the sacrifice. And if they were to touch the blood that was oozing out of this poor man, they would be considered impure and they would not be able to do what God asks them to do. Well, the scholar of the law said basically the first thing you need to do to honor God is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this priest and this Levite don't do that. They choose what human laws are. They choose what human conceptions are to honor God over what God in God's own self asks us to do, which is to love and to show care and to never stop showing care. And even when it seems ridiculous and absurd, we need to continue, you know, to show care and to continue to love. That marks us out as believers in this world. That marks us out as the people that God has called us to be. That makes us different in this world. The extent to which we care and the extent to which we love, which goes above and beyond what human contraptions and human understandings think is right and just and moral and whatever. Sometimes God's law and God's word flies in the face of everything that we can human beings set up to say, this will make us an ordered world. This will make us a perfect world. This will make us a world where everything is just right and just well. This scholar of the law doesn't see that. The scholar of the law doesn't understand that. But this is why, again, Jesus, in going to the cross out of love, in dying out of love, and trusting that God will bring him through this out of love, is what occurs. That resurrection occurs because of God's great demonstration of love. It is the great victory of God's love. And we have to begin to realize we need to live out of that understanding. We need to live out of that knowledge of what the power of love is. If we don't, then we aren't being the people we are called to be. And we are not being the Christians and believers we are called to be in this world. Our job and our mission is to care. And the demonstration of that care is love. And the signs of eternal life, beginning now within our own midst, are the extents to which we both care and love in this world. Continue blessed peace from Franciscan Media. May the Lord, as always, give you his love and his mercy.